is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law.
Thank you, Kathleen, for reading so dramatically. I love when people read scripture with dramatic voices. It just makes it stand out more. I have my phone here, timing myself for 10 minutes. Yesterday in my class at seminary, we were given the task of speaking for 10 minutes, and we all discovered how difficult that is. So I'm going to set the timer now, not 2 minutes ago. For the last 3 weeks, we've heard messages from Pastor Megan, Becca Wigden, and from Chaplain Teresa, and they've each encouraged us as a congregation to think of the ways that we're going to move forward. They encouraged us to consider what our next steps for action for the sake of the gospel will be. Megan spoke on the cripple's healing in John 5 and told us that legs are made for walking. Funny thing, did we know that? Becca spoke from several passages from Matthew and 2 Corinthians and called us to love, service, grace, and vulnerability, and was encouraging us with this line, AMC, you have a unique opportunity to evaluate how the Holy Spirit will work in you. And Teresa spoke from Acts 17 and John 14, how each of us has an innate and restless yearning for the divine within us. That desire to find God has been planted within us by God. And for some reason, during the last 3 weeks of each of these sermons and messages, I've been thinking about this scripture text today, about Peter jumping off out of the boat onto this lake that was full of stormy waves and wind that about blew him over, and wondering, what does this mean? In light of the messages we've heard for the last 3 weeks, what is God trying to say to me? What is God trying to say to you? Just prior to this scripture, Jesus had fed 5,000 people. The disciples were involved in lifting baskets of food for all those people. Remember, there were 12 baskets left over. They were sorting fish and handing out bread leftovers. And I imagine they handed out the fish and bread leftovers to all these 5,000 people to take home to their families. So I'm going to ask the people on the fellowship committee, raise your hands. Go on, don't be shy. The people on the fellowship committee, they're probably in the kitchen. Yeah, they can't raise their hands. They're working. But for the rest of us who might be doing that, how would you feel standing on your feet serving 5,000 people? That would be a lot of work. These disciples were dead tired when they got done. And so Jesus sent them away. Go take a break. Go get a little rest. Take the boat over to the other side. I'll meet you there somehow. Jesus went up to the mountainside afterward to pray, and he was by himself. He needed time alone with his Father to pray and rejuvenate, to listen to the Holy Spirit. And so the disciples had gone on the other side, or they were trying to. They were fighting these rough seas. And so sometime during the night, we're not really told when, but Jesus decided he's going to check in on these disciples. So he thought, I'll take the straight way, the easy way. I'm going to make a straight line straight across the boat, straight across the lake. Of course, the disciples thought they were seeing a ghost. And what else could this kind of an apparition be? You know, this thing out there on the water. But Jesus calms down and he says, hold on, it's me. Take some courage and don't be afraid. Well, naturally, Peter, you know, he's exuberant, extroverted, high-spirited, and the most outspoken disciple on board. So he shouts over the waves, "Okay, if that's really you, Lord, tell me to come on over there and join you on the water." Ha. So how many of you have experienced that sensation of God encouraging you to jump out of the boat? Or maybe another way to think of it is jumping out of the frying pan into the fire. How many of you, I'd like to see hands, how many of you have experienced that before? Yeah, a number of you. A little scary. So I'd like to hear from some of you that raised your hands, shout it out so everybody can hear, what were some of the emotions you felt when you felt God calling you to something that felt really big? Doubt. Speechless, okay. Alive. Fear. Pardon? Excitement. Okay. There's a lot of emotion that goes into something big and scary. And it seems to me that Peter might have felt those same things when he really realized where he was, standing on the water with these waves around him. And he had no life jacket on. I mean, they didn't have life jackets then, most likely. He probably couldn't swim to either side of the shore, so he was kind of stuck there on the water with these waves and the wind blowing at him. Well, I had an unusual experience similar to what some of you might have had also earlier this month. And it actually was an experience that began way back in 1998. When Rob and I lived in Florida, I felt like I wanted to take some Bible classes. But I certainly did not want to preach. Well, jump fast forward to 2012, October, and Rob and I met with a discernment team composed of Rich and Twyla and Dave and Donna Stutzman. And I was asking questions, Rob and I both were, what am I going to do with this life of mine? I'm running out of time already. Anyway, I wanted to take some Bible courses, but I don't want to preach. Well, the first week of June this year, three separate times and three separate people asked me to consider preaching, either here at Albany or elsewhere. Three times in the space of 6 days. I felt like God was asking me to jump off a cliff at the Grand Canyon with no river below. Now, in both of my New Testament classes at seminary, I learned that when God speaks three times in the Bible, we need to pay attention. Yikes. I have been saying I'm not a mathematician, Nate, 1998 till 2016, what is that? Yeah, a lot of years. Well, I had to stop and think about why I was so resistant to this idea of preaching. And for me, I realized that it had to do with my pride and my fear. Maybe I've placed people like Megan, Teresa, Dave Stutzman, and others on a kind of pedestal. And I certainly don't want to be on a pedestal for other people because I know how imperfect I am. My fear has to do with that pride. What if I mess up? What if I say the wrong thing? What if? So God helped me to recognize that in reality, He was asking me to jump off a cliff. Only, He's got a river down below. One that I can swim in, and one that's going to help me go to a nice, calm pool where I can actually wade. So when Peter panicked and yelled out, "Lord, save me," Jesus is quick to grab his hand. But then Jesus calls Peter to accountability. "What were you so afraid of?" why don't you have any more faith than that after all this time that you've been with me? Well, Jesus was asking me the same question. What am I so afraid of? Don't I have any more faith than that after all these many years of walking with him? Why am I doubting what I've been hearing for such a long time? So I felt Jesus speaking directly to me about my pride and about my fear of standing up here. And so here I am, sharing. And I will be preaching at Mennonite Village on August 14th. It'll be my first real preaching time. So I wonder where or in what part of your life God is calling you to jump out of the boat and join him in a water walking party. Where is Jesus calling Albany Mennonite to step out of the boat and join him on the water? And what might that answer mean for us? How could answering Jesus' call... I'm almost done. How could answering Jesus' call affect our community? In what ways are we doubting Jesus' call for us? Where are we doubting? When Jesus and Peter climbed back into the boat, the wind and the waves died down. They calmed down. The story finishes in a way that we often gloss over. The disciples and Jesus arrived at the other side of the lake, and the community on shore went door to door asking people to come. Come see Jesus. Bring your sick people. He'll heal them. People took their sick loved ones to him for healing, and everyone was healed. Jesus' ministry was witnessed by Peter countless times, and later he was called to be the rock of the church. That must have seemed overwhelming. But we also know that Peter struggled. There's a lot of reality in this person. So what are we, Albany Mennonite Church, what are we being called to do? How will that challenge us? And how will that challenge us to depend on the Holy Spirit?
Jacoby's my technical assistant, so we'll see how well it goes. Jacoby, so push it. Whenever I say push it, good. All right? When I do this, you push the button. Got it? Hello. Larry Eby said I could talk, but I had to slow my speech down. So, Larry, if I'm speaking too quickly, you just yell or throw something at me. Got it? He's finding something to throw. Nolan, maybe move over a little. Good. When Ben, Jacoby, Nolan, and I arrived here in Albany, back in Albany, we knew we'd be at AMC until we were at least done with Service Adventure, but we were truthfully keeping our options open after that. Also, when we arrived, I felt like I was in a kind of spiritual coma. I kind of breathed in and out. I existed. I was alive by all of the technical senses of the word. But I was also kind of snarky, kind of feeling like I had checked out the faith thing. And God didn't stop the bad things from happening in my life anyway, so I was sticking around church for the deep, meaningful relationships that church held for me and that this church held for me. I wrote this also in a goodbye note to Megan, to Pastor Megan, but over the past 3 years, I have felt more spiritually alive, more curious, and wanting more than I have any time since maybe freshman year at Heston College. Okay, Jacoby, push. That's just to document what my boys looked like when we got here. Also, it's a cute picture. Can we push it again? There's Heston College. I felt like a part of me that's been pushing the snooze button for so long now kind of feels like I'm up, I'm awake, and maybe I'm dancing around a little bit. And it's not in spite of church. It's intricately wrapped around church. Here's an example. One day, I was trying to tie together some scattered thoughts that I was having about what is AMC's mission? What about outreach? What should outreach be doing? scattered thoughts about my students who are undocumented and immigration issues in general. So my personal pattern usually is solve church issues with churchy solutions and solve work issues with schooly solutions. Those are both words, by the way. This time, Jacoby, we push the button. I think of it like waffling, not like unsure, but like neat little compartments for syrup to go in. School syrup goes in one compartment and it doesn't mess with church syrup. This time, however, the scripture that I chose today about the fruits of the Spirit came into my mind as I was thinking about all of this kind of scattered thoughts. And for me, this might not sound earth-shattering, but for me, this was a big moment. It signaled something important. My faith, my church, and my spirituality, it's relevant. And it's the source of ideas that can be both practical and chock full of spiritual meaning and significance. The syrup can flow around the waffle. It reminded me of a sermon that Megan preached on kind of what her litmus test for faith, changing from did I sin today to how well did I love today, totally changes the game by a small little adjustment. So, status update on me. I'm alive. I'm feeling curious, and I'm feeling loved. Andrew, will you push play on the video? I have a social experiment for us. And it's just, I just need the sound really, but the picture's okay. And I want maybe like just until I tell you to push pause. This is the social experiment. How long can people be quiet in the middle of technical difficulties? Yeah, it's darkness, symbolic.
Get this one, Micah. Look at this one.
Exactly what I wanted. It's contagious, right? That video surfaced about 5 years ago, and sometimes when I'm so grumpy or irritated or think that there's no hope in the world, I look up that stupid video because it's contagious. You can't help but just feel a little boost by the sound of an 8-month-old giggling hysterically at a piece of paper that's ripping. That is contagious, and I feel like, for one of the first times in my grown-up adult life, so is my spiritual life. I feel like spiritual life. I know because the life and the sparkle and the curiosity is what surrounds me by you all at AMC, and I feel like it infected me. I don't feel like I'm patient zero in this infection. So what's next for AMC? Jacoby, can you push the next button? This picture you may have seen if you're Facebook friends with me. If you're not, that's you. This is my delightful son, Nolan. He took a bath, and this was yesterday, Friday. He took a bath, and it was super, super cold, and I wasn't moving fast enough to get his pajamas on. Ben couldn't find him, and the door was open to our front, where we park our cars. So Ben looks out and he sees Nolan huddled around the heater vent, that's the heater dryer vent, outside where we park our cars. And Ben says, "Noli John, come on, come inside." And he goes, "No, it's so warm." And as I was finding the slides for what I wanted to share today, I thought, I think this is maybe what's next for AMC. I think that as we're walking around in life, we find places that just feel so warm, and that you can't help but just be drawn to it and huddle around it and gain from its warmth. And that maybe Nolan has the right idea, that you don't stay inside. You maybe don't even look really presentable. Not that I want Larry Eby hanging out in his undies. I'm just saying that I think that we need to be able to take a risk and to jump and to maybe not be fully prepared or feel fully prepared, but that we'll find places and people and gather around them. And that sounds so exciting to me. I think that's what's to come. I think we can be patient zero in our community for spiritual life. I think we can mix it with practical solutions and spiritual zest. And that's so exciting to me. I already alluded to this, but one area that I feel so strongly in about where we can make a huge stride towards being faithful and by practicing the fruits of the Spirit is how we are treating, how we are loving, and how we are living with our immigrant neighbors, maybe those who are even undocumented. As you may have heard, an anonymous donor gave several thousand dollars to AMC, and the only stipulation was that Pastor Megan had to choose how to spend it in a way that kind of felt like it wrapped up her time here. She asked that AMC send a delegation of people to a learning lab through Global Immersions. You have a handout that was in your mailboxes about this. Jacoby, will you push the button? Maybe not. Try again. There we go. It's not a missions trip. What it is a kind of three-part deal. 8 weeks of an online coursework where you learn and you take about history and about the kind of the head knowledge of immigration issues. You take that online coursework with other people. In our instance, it will be some people from Albany Mennonite and then some people from other places, the delegation that then goes to San Diego and Tijuana for the heart part where you get to see and visualize. Would be a mixed group of people. And then once you come back from that, the trip part of it, then there are several months of asking what's next, how does that apply to Albany, and how does that apply to Albany Mennonite Church. So, if you would like to join that delegation, there is an application in your mailbox. If you need another one, let me know. And turn it into our mailbox by July 30th, which consequently is when you will see us again. We'll come back. The current plan is to see how many people want to participate, to see how much people are able to contribute personally to the larger pot of money from the donation, and then see how much our money designation will, how far it will stretch. So I have some hopes and dreams about where that process will take us, but I'm going to save them for now. Yes. This is the same organization that Megan went with to the Holy Lands, but this trip is not to the Holy Lands, it's to Mexico. Thank you. So let's just know that God is not done with us. God is not done with us yet. And to end, I'm going to give you my remix of Pastor Megan's sermon over the past 3 years. Here's what my heart remembered when I asked it to think back. How well did we love today? Let's take stock of our pantry and use our scraps faithfully. Let's reject cynicism. Let's take leaps of faith, get up because we're healed, and let's embrace outwardly. Amen and amen.